Okay, Boker Tov. Good morning. We're here at Kilat Shiftei Yisrael Ranana on Zoom, studying Amud Yomi. Masechet Shabbat, Daf Nun Tet Amud Bet, 59b. So we're right at the top of the page. The last thing we studied, and again, let's just first of all zoom out. We're studying things that, accessories, jewelry, clothing, things that one is allowed to wear or not allowed to wear on Shabbat to the public thoroughfare when there is no Erev. Okay, so can you carry something? Can you wear certain types of jewelry, accessories? So now we're going to talk about this object called an ir shel zahav. An ir shel zahav is some embroidery that goes around. It includes a necklace. And it was a very popular form of, it specifically had a design of Yerushalayim on it. This is something that Rabbi Akiva buys for his wife, even though they were very poor. Ultimately, he's able to buy her a ir shel zahav. So Tana Rabbanan, Tana Mudbek, lo tetzei isha be'ir shel zahav. A woman may not go out with an ir shel zahav, im yatzta chayevet chatat. Divrei Rabbi Meir. And if she does go out, she is chayev chatat. We're going to see now three opinions with regards to this ir shel zahav. First opinion is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, woman is not allowed to wear this. If she does, chayevet chatat, meaning she violates a Torah law. If she goes out intentionally and she's warned, there's a hatra'ah, she would be liable for stoning. If she goes out accidentally, she has to bring a korban chatat, a sin offering. This is the shita of Rabbi Meir that we're talking about, a Torah violation by carrying this out. We have to figure out what the logic is behind that. The rabbis say, lo teitze, the im yatzita patura. She shouldn't go out like this, but if she did, it's patur. Okay, again, patur in Hilchot Shabbat means it's prohibited rabbinically, but not from the Torah. Okay, it's only prohibited from a rabbinic standpoint. Rabbi Eliezer says, yotza isha be'ir shel zahav lecha tchila. Rabbi Eliezer says, a woman might go is allowed to go out with this lecha tchila. With total permission, it's you get your kosher stamp on it. Now, what's the logic behind these three opinions? B'mai kamipalgi, what are they arguing about? Rabbi Meir savar masuihu. Rabbi Meir says it's a masui, it's a burden, and therefore, if you carry a burden in Rishut Arabim, you're violating a Torah law. Rabbanan savri tachshitu. Rabbanan say it's a tachshit, it's jewelry, it's considered clothing, but dioma shalfa umechav yalei. But the woman might take it off, and if she takes it off, she might then carry with it. So we make a rabbinic prohibition to prevent her from doing this. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, man darka lemeipak be'ir shel zahav, isha chashuva. Who normally wears an ir shel zahav? This is an expensive piece of jewelry. Who normally wears this? A very important, wealthy woman. Isha chashuva lo mishalfa umachde. And an important woman doesn't feel the need to show off, doesn't need to take off her jewelry and show it to someone. There's something, let's say, low class about that. That's maybe what someone low class does. But you can imagine this is true. Someone who's wearing a very expensive diamond, a tennis, I don't know, what if you could, tennis, it's not called tennis bracelet, a necklace filled with diamonds. You don't take this off and show it to someone. You wear it, you show it off, but you don't show it to somebody else, and you don't let somebody touch it. It's low class behavior to take it off. And Isha Chashuva, we're not concerned about, because she's not going to engage in that type of behavior. Now, there is an interesting Rashba here. Okay, there's an interesting question that arises in the Rishonim. Okay, and the question is, one second. Yeah, there's an interesting question here of, let me just pull this up. One second, let me just pull up the source. Of Rabbi Meir Shita here, that it's an Isser D'Oraita. Okay, this is like an interesting opinion here. And, so we have to understand the logic. So the Rashba believes, why is this an Isser D'Oraita? He says that because this object is heavy, there's a heaviness to it. There's a lot of metal. It's a lot of gold, whatever it is. Therefore, it's kaved me'od, okay? And therefore, we treat it like a masa. Therefore, it's like a burden, even though she's wearing it. This is something that the woman wears. She doesn't hold it. She wears it, but it's like a, because it's extra heavy, okay? The Rashash, Okay, it was one of the later achronim. He says as follows: Shetamosher Rav Meir Omer Shesover Kachalim Sheish Lasor Latzei Behem Lachatchila Mishum Achashas Shema Tisireim V'Tera Lachaveroteh. Okay, and this is interesting. So we're concerned she might take it off and show it to them. Umimela Nitamehem Shem Tachshiv Yom Hashabbat Meshuv HaReza Kemasui. Even though it is considered clothing, it's a tachshit, because she might turn it off, it therefore transforms it into an accessory. It transforms it into a masa, into a burden, and that's how she would come to violate a mitzvah in the Torah. Okay, so different rationales here for why this is so prohibited. So next object of interest. Kalila, okay. A kalila is a tiara. A tiara has some metal. It's a sort of this crown that a woman wears, and it's tiara, so it's made out of metal. But it also has some other things dangling on it, and other other artwork. So kalila, Rav Asar. Rav says this is prohibited. It's asur minatara or asur. Shmuel Shari. Shmuel permits it. So is a lot of women allowed to wear this or not? Machloket Rav and Shmuel. Okay. So two classic Bar-e Plugta, they always argue, they're two great Rabbanim in Babel, and we'll see why this is significant in just a second. So the Gemara says, well, let's clarify what this machloket is really about. Da nischa kule amalo pligi da asur. If it's nischa means, look at Rashi, da nischa, tas asui kulo min nischa, v'hinu zahav o kesef davar hanitach. If it's mostly metal, everybody agrees that it's prohibited. I mean, we're trying to frame the machloket Rav and Shmuel. What is the case where they argue? If it's mostly metal, everybody agrees it's prohibited. Ah, so when do they argue? Ki pligi de arukta. They're arguing about a case of arukta. What's arukta? So Rashi says de arukta. Ritzua shemitzuyeret bezahav u'ba'avanim tovot. So this is more. It's in pieces of gold. It's stones. Okay, it's not metal, but it's more stones. Okay, it appears that this is also less expensive. Okay, so the anischa kulam lo pligi de asur ki pligi de arukta mar savar anischa ikar. So when you have this case of stones on this metal on this tiara, mar savar, one opinion says anischa ikar, the anischa is ikar, the metal part is the ikar, and therefore it's asur according to Rav. Umar Savar and Shmuel says arukta ikar. No, it's arukta. It's the dangling stuff and the stones and the beads and the threads. That's the ikar. Okay, and therefore because it's going to be less important, because that's the primary part of the kalila, and therefore it's less value. People, women are unlikely to show it to somebody else, and therefore it's permitted. So the machloka between Rav and Shmuel is in a case of the. A klila that's arukta, that's mostly threads and beads, and not just the primary part is not the metal. Okay, now that's one reading of this gemara. Now we're going to see a second reading of the machloka between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Ashi is more lenient in his reading. He says matni lekula. He reads this more leniently, and he says the arukta to kule amelo pligi de shari. He says no, everybody agrees that arukta is permitted. Rav and Shmuel agree that arukta is permitted. There's no concern a woman's going to take it off and show it to her friend. Ki pligi da anischa. We're arguing about the case of anischa. So instead of it being, in the first reading of this machloket, okay, three out of the four options of the type of kalila are prohibited, okay, according to all the opinions, okay? Now, the only thing that was permitted was the shita of Shmuel, and if it was, arukta. Now we're saying, no, everybody agrees that arukta is permitted. It's made out of threads, that's permitted. And the machloket is if it's the primary piece of the metal, the anischa. And that's where Rav says that's prohibited and Shmuel says it's permitted. So Rav Ashi has a more lenient reading of the machloket between Rav and Shmuel. Okay, so and then he goes through it. Mar savar dilma shalfa umachavya v'adila atuye. So Mar, one opinion says, well, we're still concerned that she's going to show it to somebody, okay, and that's the metal one, and that's Rav, and that's why it's prohibited. Mar savar man darka lemepak beklila isha chashuva, v'isha chashuva lo shalfa umachavya. And where Shmuel says it's permitted because who wears this klila? Well, an important woman wears a klila. An important woman is not, wouldn't be low class, you know, habits of taking something off and showing it to somebody. She wears it, she shows it off, but she doesn't show it to somebody. Okay, now, Amar le Rav Shmuel Bar Chana le Rav Yosef. Rav Shmuel Bar Chana says to Rav Yosef, okay, Beferush Amartlan Mishmei Derab Kalila Shari. Okay, so this is an interesting interaction here because Rav Shmuel Bar Chana is, I guess, a student of, or a colleague of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Pumbedita, okay? But at one point he loses his memory and he has to be reminded of the things that he taught by his students and his colleagues. So Rav Shmuel Bar Chana says to Rav Yosef, Beferush, you explicitly told us, Mishmei Derav, in the opinion of Rav, okay, Kalila Shari, a Kalila is Shari. Now, you know, if you're saying that a Kalila is Shari, clearly you have to be going by the second reading of Rav Ashi, okay, because it's only in Rav Ashi's reading that Rav permits some form of a Kalila, and that was a Kalila Arukta, this tiara that has, you know, that's not primarily metal, but it's more, you know, beads and strings, etc., and different stones. So look at Rashi, Kalila Shari, Alma de Rav Ashi Ikar, meaning Rav Yosef said we must paskin like Rav Ashi's reading, although it is interesting because Rav Yosef preceded Rav Ashi. I don't know if he ever met Rav Ashi, but it's Rav Ashi's reading of the Gemara is what he's agreeing to. Demoki plug the benischa about Baruch the Mode Rav, the Ika Laok Mele Didei Barukta. So basically Rav Yosef is saying halacha is like Rav when it comes to Arukta, that even Rav agrees that it's permitted by Arukta, and therefore we go with the second reading of Ashi's reading of the Gemara and not the previous reading of the Gemara. Okay. Now we're gonna have like an interesting, it's sort of a story of sorts. Okay, connected to this. Okay, Amrule L'Rav. Okay, the Gemara, they said to Rav. Okay, what did they say to Rav? They said to Rav, now Rav is a rabbi in Bavel. Rav was in Eretz Yisrael and he moved to Bavel. When he moves to Bavel, Bavel becomes the center of Torah learning in the world because Rav was the greatest sage of his generation and he moved to Bavel and that changed everything. Okay, Amrule L'Rav. Okay, they said to Rav, Atagav Rabba, a great man has arrived here in Bavel. Aricha, okay, he's very great, okay? He's come from Eretz Yisrael, Lin Neharda, he's come to Neharda. Now Rav is trying to figure out, well, who is this great man who came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel? Umatla, and another clue to who this man is, he's lame, okay? Matla is he's Tzolea al Yirech, okay? He's lame. Okay, he can't walk straight. He's limp. Vidarash, and what did this rabbi who came from Eretz Yisrael say? Klila Shari. Klila is permitted. Okay, so you could imagine Rav is feeling, wait a second, who's this guy on my turf who's saying that Klila is Shari? Okay, so what's going on here? Who is this guy? Okay, so Amar, so Rav says, Man gavarabba arichat itla. He says, Rav says, I know who this man is. You know who this man is? It's Levi. This is who it is. It's Levi. Okay. Now we're going to talk about how he knows that it's Levi. Shma Mina. And he concludes from this that if Levi has come to Bavel, Nach Nafshei de Rabbi Ephes. Okay. It means that Rabbi Ephes has died. The Yativ Rabbi Chanina Beresha. Rabbi Chanina is the Rosh Yeshiva. Okay, and let's explain what's happening here, okay? So there's a little story behind the story, okay? Look at Rashi, Nach Nafshei de Rav Efes. Okay, this is brought down in Masachet Ketubot, Vahnosei, on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Bet. Divrei Matzchel Nach Nafshei. Amina, they said it, Dechi Shchiv Rebbe, when Rebbe died. Rebbe is the one who composed the Mishnah, okay? He's the last of the great Tana, okay, of his generation. Rebbe Amar, Rebbe Yudanasi. What did Rebbe say? Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama Yeshev Berosh. Now, who's going to be the Rosh Yeshiva after Rebbe? Rebbe nominates Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama to be the Rosh Yeshiva. V'lo kibel alav Rebbe Chanina, but Rebbe Chanina refused to accept the appointment. Shaya Rebbe Ephes Gadol Menu Shtei Nashim, because Rebbe Ephes was still living and he was 2 years older. V'yativ Rabbi Ephes Bereisha, and so Rabbi Ephes became the Rosh Hashiva. U'mitoch shayah Rabbi Chanina chashuv, lo nechnas lebeit midrasho, ayoshev yoshev b'chutz. This is interesting. So Rabbi Chanina steps aside to give Rabbi Ephes the right to be the Rosh Hashiva, but Rabbi Chanina doesn't come into the Beit Midrash. You know, maybe he felt that, I don't know, it's not clear why he sits outside. I mean, he was the one being willing to make this compromise for Rabbi Ephes, but he still doesn't feel comfortable coming to the Beit Midrash. I don't know, somehow he feels, disrespected or you know. Now Levi, out of kavod for his friend Rabbi Chanina, sits outside of the Beit Midrash with him. So you have these two great gedolim, Rabbi Chanina and Levi, sitting outside the Beit Midrash. So Rav is in Bavel, and Levi comes to Bavel. So Rav is theorizing, speculating, well, why would Levi come to Bavel? What must have happened that's caused Levi to come to Bavel? He says, you know what must have happened? Rabbi Ephes has died. Rabbi Chanina is now the Rosh Yeshiva. Okay, and now Levi has no one to learn with because Rabbi Chanina is teaching all the Talmidim. So Levi's all alone outside the Beit Midrash. So he had nothing to do. And therefore, Ka'ati Bahacha. And therefore he came here because he needed someone to learn with. Okay. So that's why Levi shows up. This is Rav's theory for why Levi has showed up. So the Gemara says, how does Rav really know this? Dilma nach nafshei de Rabbi Chanina. Maybe Rabbi Ephes didn't die. Remember, he was only 2 years older than Rabbi Chanina. Maybe Rabbi Chanina died. Rabbi Ephes kidekae kae. Okay, and maybe Rabbi Ephes is still the Rosh Yeshiva. And Levi still didn't have anybody learn it because Rabbi Chanina is dead. Okay, dekati lahacha, and he came here. Im ita Rabbi Chanina shchiv, because if it's the case that Rabbi Chanina died, okay, then Levi Rabbi Ephes make up hava kayifle. If Rabbi Chanina died, if that's what you think really happened, then Levi would have gone into, he would have, you know, submitted himself to the authority of Rabbi Ephes. Okay, that's what would have happened if Rabbi Chanina had died. Okay, sorry. The Gemara responds and says, no, this is not a possibility. It's not a possibility that Rabbi Ephes died because it's not a possibility that Rabbi Chanina died because if Rabbi Chanina had died, Levi would have gone into the Beit Midrash and submitted to the authority of Rabbi Ephes. The two, Rabbi Chanina lo sagi de lo malich. Furthermore, there's no way that Rabbi Chanina is not still ruling as the Rosh Hashiva. He's got to still be the Rosh Hashiva. Why? Because when Rabbi died, Amar Chanina Rabbi Chama Yativ Berosh. Rabbi said that Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chama will be the Rosh Hashiva. Uchtiv Behu Batzadikim. And it says by Tzadikim, by righteous ones, Betigzar Omer Viakamlach. That when Tzadikim say something, they make a gezerah, okay, down here in Ba'aretz, and it's decreed up on heaven. You know, so when a tzaddik says something, it comes true. So if Rebbe appointed Rabbi Chanina by Rabbi Chama to be the Rosh Yeshiva, it must be that it's still the Rosh Yeshiva. So who must have died? Rabbi Ephes must have died, okay? And Rabbi Chanina went inside the Beit Midrash, and Levi's alone outside with no one to learn with, and that's why Levi came to Nehardea, he came to Bavel. Now, this is very interesting, this notion, and this is hot off the press. This notion that whatever a great tzaddik says is decreed up on heaven. So I don't know, you know, we're seeing a lot of Rebbe's, I don't know if they're great tzaddikim or not, but their followers certainly think so, who are decreeing this, you know, saying a lot of things in Bnei Brak, just 15 kilometers from here, 10 kilometers from here, you know, saying that, you know, we've got to open the schools and, you know, it's this whole Corona thing is a hoax and blah, blah. So I, you know, this is an interesting statement here in the Gemara. How coincidental that we dafka came upon it today. Okay. We'll leave it as a interesting question of how to explain this. How to explain this the source. Okay, but again,
Rabbi. I think, you know, I apologize if it's going to go on to a tangent because you can go into a huge discussion about this. Mm-hmm. But over time, like a lot of times people did listen to Rabbanim and thinking that their words were from Har Sinai, that the words were golden and not to be argued. And a big thing about it is that people don't have the courage to turn around and say, look, that makes no sense at all whatsoever. I'm sorry, I cannot listen to you. And it comes to the question, is that usur? Is it usur to do that? You know, it is disrespectful. It is. But, you know, if your Rav is telling you, who doesn't have any medical background at all whatsoever, doesn't know what medicine is, and is telling you that this is a hoax, I'm sorry, dude. You don't know what you're talking about.
No. Agreed. And that's why this is such a, I agree 100%. And I think rabbis need to know, everybody needs to know their limitations. And a good rabbi knows that he should seek medical advice. And you should, you know, and
there's something called sechel at the end of the day.
Sechel, nachon. And it is crazy what is going on. I would point out, and just one, you know, explanation here is that, you know, every admor in Bnei Brak is not necessarily a great tzaddik. This is the leader of the generation is Rebbe. Maybe Rebbe, the one who composed the Mishnah, the one of the most important works in all of halachic history. Maybe he's got the power to do this. But it doesn't mean that every block in Bnei Brak has another Rebbe who is gozer and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekayim. Now that might be one way of resolving this. These are. I mean, I think it's. Let me be very clear. I mean, I'm sure you know what my opinion is about this. It is terrible, absolutely terrible. It's a huge Chibur Hashem what is happening in Bnei Brak. There are no words to describe this. I mean, there's a WhatsApp going around that in the time of Rabbi Akiva, you know, everyone's in Avelut because in the time of Rabbi Akiva, all these students were dying from a plague. So we don't even have weddings. We don't have weddings now because of what happened then. But now, right now, they're having weddings with 2,000 people of them in Bnei Brak. I mean, it is shocking. It is
like you have to abandon all rationale. You know, it's like
nachon. Correct. It's very, very disturbing. Okay, so let's now. The reason we're bringing in this whole story about Levi is because he said something about Kalila. He said something about a tiara, which is relevant to us. What did he say? Darsh Levi ben Naharda Kalila Shari. So Levi said in Naharda that a Kalila is permitted. Okay, so Nafik. And now, when Levi came to Babel and said this, now what happened the next day? Nefik esrin ba'arba klile mikule naharda. 24 women in all of Naharda walked out with a klila on Shabbat. Okay, Dar Shabbat Baravua. Rabbi Baravua says Beir Mechoza, another city in Babel, klila shari. He said it was shari. V'nafku tamnei surei klile mechada mevoa. And 18 women walked out just from one mavui. One mavui is one alleyway, meaning everybody was wearing it. When Rebbe said it was permitted, everybody went and wore it. Now, what happened with Levi, it's interesting. Is this saying that when Levi came, people just sort of grabbed onto the more lenient opinion? And, you know, I mean, there are 24 women wearing it in Naharda. It sounds like it's not so many, okay? So it appears like Levi gave this opinion and only 24 people, you know, jumped onto it and decided they were going to follow the leading opinion. Whereas in Mechoza, where Rabbi Bar Avua was the Rebbe there, okay, and he paskened that it was permitted, so there everybody was going out with them, you know. So this would appear to be a proof. It speaks to the righteousness of Anshei Nahardai that they, for the most part, they followed their Rebbe and didn't just jump to the lenient opinion. Now, that's what it seems like is the Gemara is saying here. Okay. Let's go on to the next piece of jewelry. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Shmuel. Kamra. Okay. A kamra. Okay, a kamra is an avnet. Okay, avnet is like a satchel is probably the right word. It's like a belt of sorts. Okay, an avnet. I'm curious. What do you have in your English translations? If anybody has an interest in English translation of the Gemara, what do you have there?
It says a gilded belt.
A gilded belt, right?
I can send a picture. I'll send you guys a picture.
Yeah. Avnet is a gilded belt. I mean, it's one of the, it's actually one of the, you know, I'm pulling up a picture here myself. It's one of the, let me share this on Zoom. Okay.
It was used for kings would wear it. It says here.
Yeah. Well, kings, the Kohen Gadol. Look, let's look at the Kohen Gadol here on the right. Okay, you see the eight. These are the eight begadim of the Kohen Hagadol. The Kohen, regular Kohen, only had four of these things. So you have the tzitz on top. The mitznefet is the hat, the me'il, the ketonet tashbeit, which is the, you know, the actual clothing he's wearing, the avneit, choshen mishpat, michnesei bar, the pants, ephod milim, and here we go, the avneit. That's the belt. You see that goes around the middle of the Kohen Gadol. Here's another one on the left side, avneit. Yafe. So what about an avneit? So Amar Rabbi Amar Shmuel, kamra, shari, okay? So a kamra is shari. It's permitted to go out with a kamra. Okay. Look at okay. Now, ika da'amri. There are those who say da'arukta. There are some who say that we're talking about an arukta here, meaning a kamra that's mostly again stones and beads and threads. V'amar Rabbi Safra midi da'hava atalit mushevet. Rabbi Safra says that this is a that this is the same halacha as a talit musheret. Now look at Rashi, kamra. Rashi diber matzchol kamra. Avneit chashuv. Yesh osino to tashel zahav. Again, the avneit also, it has different types of production lines. There's an avneit that has that's made out of gold. Yesh osino to ritzu'ah mishpitzot zahav avanim kvot. And some have different threads and beads and stones. So what does this mean? Midi dahav a talit musheret. So look at Rashi. Dehevi tachshit visharya. It's a tachshit. It's like a jewelry, and it's permitted. It's like clothing. We're not concerned a person's going to show it or take it off. This is very funny. I mean, how many people would take off their belt to show someone their belt in public, only to have their clothing fall down? I mean, who does that? No one does that. That's bizarre behavior. So there's no concern a person's going to take off their belt in public. Okay, and that's why it's just like the talit mushevet. Again, the talit mushevet clearly has the same status. Okay, that we're not concerned you're going to take it off. The ikad amri, and there are those who say danischa. No, we're talking about the danischa type, which is this kamra that's made out of metal. The amar Rav Sifra, and the Rav Sifra says midi dahava avneit shal melachim, and therefore it's the same halacha as an avneit shal melachim. Okay, what does that mean that it's the same halachas in avnei shal melachim? Look at Rashi. Asui kulo dinischa. It's all metal. It's all gold. V'kol Yisrael b'nei melachim ruhim lo. They're very beautiful. Yafenmor. And all the Jewish people are like b'nei melachim, and we're ra'ui to wear something like this. Okay. So what does that mean? Why is it significant that it's And the point is that even, this is a more lenient opinion, that even the anischa, the one that's made out of metal, everybody is allowed to wear it, okay? And it's like what a king wears. Now, a king, he wears it as clothing. He's not going to take it off to show it to anybody, okay? And the reason we're allowed to do this as well, because we are all like b'nei melachim, okay? And yafem lo, very beautiful. Good. Let's go on. Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi. Ravina says to Rav Ashi, Kamra ilui hamiyana mai. Amar le tre hamiyane ka'amart. Okay, so Ravina says to Rav Ashi, and he says, can you go out with an important, kamra ilui hamiyana mai? Let's say you have a kamra on top of your regular belt. So you're sort of wearing two belts. Okay, one is this kamra, which is this more, adorned, avneit on top of a regular one. So it's not really serving a particular purpose, but it's really more for show. Okay, so amarle trei hamiyane kamart. So he says, look at Rashi, trei hamiyane kamart, havadai masui hu vasur. This is definitely prohibited. Okay, v'shon tamidei rabbi Yitzchak. Why? Because it's like wearing two belts. Okay. Okay, there's a Rashi has a girsa such that this is permitted, but according to the first girsa in Rashi, okay, Rav Ashi is responding to Ravina and saying it's like wearing two belts. Two belts is prohibited. Okay, and it's there's no difference because one of them is definitely a masa, one of them is definitely a burden, and it's not not needed. Okay, the next thing,
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Is that the problem? Or the problem is then they could take it off, because then the begadim won't fall.
1 second. I mean, Rashi suggests that it's a masa. Rashi says, 1 second, how about I masuihu v'asur? It's not a concern that you might, I mean, that is why a masa is problematic, because, two different ways of reading this.
Then it wouldn't be asur, it would be chayav.
Exactly, that might be the difference, Isur Midrabanan versus the Raita, which goes back to Rabbi Meir earlier on in the Gemara. If you say that it's a masa, it's like you're carrying now, a mamish carrying right now, and therefore it's asur. Or you could say, no, you might, it's a masa, it's only prohibited Midrabanan, but you might take it off and carry with it, and that's why it's... And that's why it's a problem. Okay, so I think you can read it in one of either way. Okay, next piece here. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, "Hi risuka." Okay, this risuka. Okay, what is a risuka? Look at Rashi. Chatichat mi'il rechava. Like a part of a coat that's very wide. Okay, what is that? I'm going to show you in the picture, at least that I have here in my Gemara on the bottom here. Always nice to see a picture. This is the risuka. I don't know if it's clear, but that's the risuka. It seems like it's this, it's like a shawl of sorts that maybe women tie around themselves. That you tie around, but it has strings. If it has mafrechayata, which are, strings to tie it, shari, it's permitted, and it makes sense because you're going to tie it, and it's not. There's no concern that you're going to take it off. Ilo, but if not, asir, you cannot because it might fall off. This might affect the halacha of a shawl. Okay, a shawl where a woman wraps it around, or a scarf. Okay, are we concerned a scarf may come off? Maybe you make the same distinction by a scarf. If a scarf has some strings to tie it on, or maybe if you tie the knot out of a scarf, it's different than if you just wrap it around. Sometimes you wrap around a scarf and it falls off very easily. That could be a problem. Whereas when you tie that knot and you put it through and it's around your neck, it's not going to move. So it's you might be able to draw parallels here. Okay, next halacha. The Mishnah told us velo bikatla. You cannot go out with a katla. So the Gemara says my katla. What is that? Minakta pari. Okay. So what is this? Was this katla? So look at Rashi. Katla. Minakta pari. Moshti nitsa, as we see in Old French. Behu begajeshul shnatzim. Kein michmasayim. Okay, so what is this exactly? It's basically, a beged that made out of gold, that it goes over the neck. Okay, and 1 second. It seems like it's a bib of sorts. Umechneset baritzua rechava v'kosher tzaviv tzavara v'habegat talui al liba v'uchashuv metzuyar b'zahav yishmer v'kimin chatzi agul asui kimin klivus v'uchazet bo v'techei chadukah v'hapikam bo v'yatzat v'hushazah. To be honest, I'm not sure exactly what this looks like. What do you have in the English there? Anybody, what do you have for katla? Anybody have anything?
It says here, it says the Gemara says a katla is an ornate bib worn tightly around the neck as a crumb catcher. It's a bib.
It's a bib. So it's a bib. So you're not allowed to walk
out. A real bib.
You're not allowed to walk out with this because you might show it to somebody. Okay, interesting. Okay, next halacha nizamim. When we say nizamim, the nizamim, you cannot go out with nizamim. In the Mishnah, what is that referring to? Nizmei af. Okay, it's dafka nizmei af because those you might take out of your nose to show someone, but it's dafka nizmei ozen. Rashi says about nizmei ozen mutar lechatchila detir chalei milt on the Mishnah af lebnei sheozneh mechusot b'kishurin. We're not concerned we're going to take off. We're concerned you might take off a nose ring. Okay, we're going to stop here and we'll continue v'lo b'chotam b'ezrat Hashem tomorrow. Got through basically a whole amud today, which is great. And Bezrat Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. 7 minutes of Chizuk is going to start in just a few minutes.
Shkach, Rabbi.
So you're welcome to stay on. Wishing you all a great day.
Kol tov.